Amen. And that was my prayer going into this service too, that this morning, and I'm going to have to go back. I usually type out my prayers just because you can keep track of them a little better. I have to go back and read what I did pray this morning. And I think it was along the line of, Lord, I want you to be in control. I want you to have your way in this service, not that. And we don't want to get so scripted. We don't want to be in such a just in a control thing of this is how it goes, this is what it's got to look like, all of that, being in that time frame and that. We want God to be in control. And I think this is very scriptural, what we've experienced here today, and just Stacy sharing her word. 1 Corinthians 14, which was maybe going to be next week's there, it says this, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. And if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. The spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. And let's just go here. It says two or three people can speak. Heard from Stacy. I've got a few things to say here, a few things on my heart. But it could be three, it says. So we don't want to close everybody else off. You know, we've been talking about the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in each of us, and the Spirit has gifts for each of us, and each of us are a part of this body. So I just want to throw this open for just a minute. Is there anybody here that just has something they would like to share, something burning in their heart that they feel is from the Lord? And no pressure on that, but hey, isn't that what we want? And speaking of that, let me give a commercial here. If you noticed, a month ago now, we did instead of the board meeting, and they were board meetings back then, and we've changed them now to leadership team meetings, and I'm excited about that because this church is going places, and this church is not just bored. And it's not stiff as a board either. We're going places. God is leading and directing in just exciting ways. And last month, it was last month, we did, instead of the leadership team meeting, the board meeting, we just did an all-church supper. And we are going to do that again. There was a great turnout. It was a fantastic evening, just kind of looking for input from people. I've heard some of that input, and it's been very valuable, very helpful to get that insight from people. And so Monday the 6th, 6 o'clock, we're going to do another all-church supper meeting that you are all invited to. And the focus this time, we want to be on testimonies and sharing. You know, I hear different times. I miss the times when we used to have testimonies in church. Some of you may be new enough that you're not familiar with that, but we used to stand up and anybody got a word to say for the Lord, and people could stand up and praise the Lord. People could share their struggles, like Stacy here. This is the scripture that was speaking to me. Things like that. And that's very healthy. We are a body. Everybody's got something to add to that. So that is the hopes, my hopes for that supper meeting then, is it's going to be a time of testimony and sharing, where you can just, you don't need to preach for a half hour or that, but just share, this is what's going on, this is what I'm feeling, this is what the Lord's showing me. Here's the scripture that I've been in lately that the Lord's been talking to me through. And I'm excited to hear that from you. You know, I got a text last night from somebody that just, hey, I was reading scripture and these verses were sticking out at me. And what do you think about those? And boy, is that exciting for a pastor, you know, to, wow, engaged in scripture. That's where we're going to find our life. That's where we're going to find the strength and the meat and all of that that we need to make it through these crazy times. We need to be in Scripture. And it needs to be speaking to us, and it needs to be living and active. We just can't go status quo. We just can't go through the motions of this is what the church service looks like in that anymore. I think God wants to do good things. I'm excited about these days in the church, and the word on lukewarmness in that is God is working. God is answering prayers. Something was sparked in that 100th anniversary, just a blessing, I think, from God saying, go forward, keep going. Don't just sit back and wait for the 150th anniversary or something like that. And I was excited as I saw the church come together to, let's do this together. How can I volunteer? How can I help? What can I do? Oh, that's so exciting to see that in a church. The church that comes together in that kind of unity and that kind of focus, that kind of vision that we can make a difference in our world is a church that the world is not going to be able to stop. It's a church that God is going to get behind. Something else that just fits into where we're at as a church and where we've been looking at the Holy Spirit now for all summer, I think, with a little break for the anniversary there and that, looking at the Holy Spirit. Did you catch what she read in that Joshua chapter? Joshua goes through the whole lineup of God's faithfulness, God's faithfulness, God's faithfulness, all the mighty things that he did. And we as a church could go back to 100 years now of faithfulness. Those original charter members that said, we've got a vision for this community. There's lost people out here. There's kids that need to be in Sunday school. There's just things to do. Let's start meeting. Let's start working. Let's work together. Let's pool our resources. Let's build a church. Let's start there. And we could go all of the history of the 100 years how God is faithful to us. 100 years is a long time to live. We celebrate when somebody gets to be 100 years old. Average church does not live that long in these days. So that's what Joshua was doing there. All of these things. You were slaves in Egypt. You were lost. You were under these addictions. You were under, to put it in modern terms, you were under all the powers of the evil one. And God delivered you and delivered you and delivered you through his mighty hand, through his power. You really didn't have to do much. You just had to go along for the ride. It was God doing the work. It was God's power in all of that. Did you catch what happened at the end of that, though? That the people were all, oh, yeah, yeah, God is great. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm all excited. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it. And Joshua looks at them, and I believe the quote was, yeah, but you are not able to serve the Lord. All your excitement, all your emotions and things like that, that's not what's going to carry you through. You are not able to serve the Lord. And that's what we've been saying in this whole sermon series on the Holy Spirit, right? The disciples had been called by Jesus, spent 3 years with him, saw his miracles, heard all of his teachings, were a part of that, participated in those miracles and stuff like that, saw him crucified, saw him raised from the dead, talked with him, touched with him, ate with him after he would raise from the dead. Very, very real experiences here. And yet they were not able to serve the Lord. They were still worried about, well, when's the kingdom coming? When am I going to sit on the throne? Where's the, you know, all of these things? And it comes back to, again, that verse in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. It's not going to be our efforts. It's not going to be our work that's going to make a difference in that. Either God is going to do it, or it's not going to be done. right? We're just going to be spinning our wheels, making noise and all of those things. But if God is blessing it, then nobody is going to stop it or to be able to hinder what God is doing. Okay, so we need the secret there then, and the need of all of that is what we need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to come and empower us, to be part of that. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, then Peter could stand up and preach. Then they could do miracles. Then they understood what the gospel was, and the message went forth. But until that Holy Spirit came and had control and filled them, they were just sitting around huddling in their little church services with the doors locked because they were afraid of the world out there. And so that's a little bit in this time, and I understand what Stacy is saying. Boy, this has been an emotional roller coaster, hasn't it, this week? At least the end of this week, as we have gotten the news of this assassination. How could this happen, and how could these things be? And what's the sense of it? Why, Lord? And what does this mean? What does the future look like? And just all kinds of emotions, right, from that anger and, oh, I sure hope they catch that guy. And the death penalty is not too good for him either. And that versus then the church arising. And we see that. There's that emotional response to that, right? That, yeah, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be bold for the Lord. I'm going to do all of these things. And that's great. That's a good response that we're turning to the Lord. But again, it's not going to be us. It's not going to be our emotions of that carried us through this week and this up and down and all of that. That's not going to last. We've seen that before, haven't we? 9/11, right? Some of you have seen that or been around enough to that. The churches were full. Everybody was standing up. Everybody was praying. Everybody was zealous for the Lord because of the tragedy, the thing that just hit us so hard there that just seemed to change our lives forever, and it did. Certainly changed our world forever. But with that, eventually that we just kind of cool down again. Things get cold, water gets warm, hot water gets cool, and we just settle into kind of that status quo again. And so much of the prayer is, Lord God, not just this initial, we got to do something, let's rise up and serve the Lord, I'm going to be bold, I'm going to do all of these things, I'm. It's not me, it's not what I'm going to do. It's what we're going to let the Lord do, how he's going to work in us, how he's going to make a difference in our lives, the power that he has. It's not my willpower. It's not my striving. It's not my going to do more. I can have all the good intentions in the world. What I need, though, is that understanding and that surrender to the Holy Spirit. And that fits in just well with where this message is going today. And I really just want to focus on this this first point of this. As we're getting into talking about the Holy Spirit, trying to wrap this up, we've really 10, 12, 11 weeks, something like that on this, and we've really just scratched the surface. There's so much more. I've just been breezing over things. And again, the Holy Spirit is not taught. It's not understood. It's experienced. Can't make it happen. I can't do those things and stuff like that. He is sovereign. He does what he wants. He shows up when he wants in that. And we are just totally dependent on him. But it is this his spirit that gives us the power to live a consistent, abundant, full Christian life. Okay? Back to Joshua. Oh, yeah, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. No, you can't serve the Lord in your own strength. You can't control the situations and things like that. God is the one that will carry you. The Holy Spirit is the one that will give you the power. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do and how to do it. And the Holy Spirit will be the one that prompts you and takes you with that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12... Just the first verse, Paul makes a very interesting comment here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. So this was going to be kind of maybe what you've all been waiting for, or waiting for when you talk. A lot of us, when we talk, say, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's going to talk about spiritual gifts. He's going to talk about God's power and those things. And I haven't talked about them at all hardly yet. And certainly maybe a little bit it's controversial. This is a divisive subject in the world today, in the church today, I should say, the different gifts of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, and that. And again, we can't force this. We don't control it. I can't make that happen. The Holy Spirit has to show up. The Holy Spirit has to speak to you. The Holy Spirit has to touch your heart and give you a message that's so overwhelming, maybe a little bit like Stacy. I can't be quiet. I've got to share. It's just so heavy on my heart. And Lord, that we would be walking in that all the time, that overflow. Always be ready. The Peter verses, she said, always be ready to give an account for the hope for you. Yet with gentleness and reverence with that. Always be ready to do that. But Paul here says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Now the interesting thing here in this is if you see in their gifts is in italics here, it is in my translation. Just about every translation has that word in their gifts. But if you go back to the Greek, gifts is not in there. What was written in Greek is now concerning spiritual, brethren. I do not want you to be unaware. And we get focused on the gifts. That's where the Corinthian church was. Oh, am I going to speak in tongues? Am I going to prophesy? Am I going to be laying hands on people and are they going to be healed? And all of those things. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to do again. Instead of what is God going to do with that? And he's not, in this passage, this is the key where we go to, the charismatics go, you want to learn about spiritual gifts, here it is, chapter 12 of Corinthians, takes a break in 13, and then he goes back to spiritual gifts in 14. That's really not what this topic is about. This is not what he's saying. The gifts are different. They're not the focus. They're not the important thing for us to consider and spend our time with. It's interesting that earlier in Corinthians, he says to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak to you as mature men. I couldn't speak to you as men. I had to speak to you as babies, as infants. I couldn't give you solid food. I have to give you milk. And that's what he's doing here in these passages is trying. They're all, oh, spiritual gifts, where's the power? Where's the mighty things that I'm going to do through the Spirit? Maybe we'll give him that much credit. And he's saying, no. Let's get this straight. I don't want you to be unaware of spiritual things. I want you to understand that Spirit. I want you to experience that Spirit. And again, it's not words. It's not going to be my message. It's going to be when the Spirit comes and speaks to you and works in your life. And what we're trying to do maybe here is just show you and give you some examples of what that's going to look like. Because don't be unaware of spiritual things. We're very unaware of spiritual things in our world today. You know, we don't know. It's a world that we live in such a materialistic, physical world that we don't understand this unseen world. We don't understand the voice of God or the spiritual side of things that has nothing to do with this physical world that we see with our five senses. You know, we're blind to that, it says, until God opens our eyes. And that's much of the prayer needs to be, Lord, open my eyes to the spiritual thing. We don't understand a spirit in our culture very well at all. And then when we do, it becomes so controversial. and we get lost in the gifts, and we get lost in all of these other things here again, and there's such division and such voices, and boy, studying this and reading through the different things that people say, you can find night and day explanations of what this is. The people that will preach and say, nope, spiritual gifts, they're not for today, they're done with. None of this stuff should happen anymore. And then the whole other side of, oh no, that's all there is. If you don't do that, you don't speak in tongues, if you don't do all of those things, you know, you're just a second class citizen, you're falling short. You'll never the fullness of God until you just completely embrace all of these things. And the truth is someplace in the middle of that. We need to be aware of the Spirit. Not just our emotions, not just the response from an exciting service or songs that lift our spirits or lift our emotions that physically move us to understand what that Spirit is. So now concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And I would just go to one more verse here with that. What's he talking about? 1 Corinthians 2. And we've been here before, some of this. And this is, boy, that's little print. There's a lot there. That's all right. I've got it in bigger print here in my notes. So I won't be straining to read that as you guys might be. Here's again a picture of spiritual, and here's where this word spiritual that he said in the other one, I don't want you to be unaware of spiritual, not just spiritual gifts, but the spiritual world, the spiritual things that God is doing there. So anyways, these verses, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And God has given us all kinds of things, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And again, italics there maybe. Thoughts and words are not in the original translate, is not in the original language. What he's saying there is, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual. And we just put that in there to help us understand the words and the thoughts of that. The Spirit speaking to the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit moving on us and us recognizing that and going with that, allowing Him to work. Going on, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, right? The world. We don't have the spirit of the world. We have the spirit from God. And the world, they can't understand it. You guys are homophobic. You guys are racist. You guys are anti-women. You are all of these things. We can't understand where you're coming from. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense in our world today. Aren't you enlightened? Don't you know how far the human race has come? We have science on our side now. A natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Again, there's that word spiritual there. The same one is used there. I don't want you to be unaware of spiritual things. But the one who is spiritual appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one. Again, that goal, what we need, what God is calling us to, what God is wanting to give us is that spiritual wisdom, that spiritual insight, that spiritual fullness. And without that, we are going to do nothing, accomplish anything. We might be roused up and riled for a while, but we're just going to settle down. For all of God's faithfulness, all of the testimony, we still, what he said, Joshua said to them, you are not able to serve the Lord, but the Lord is able to change your hearts, and he is able to fill you with the Spirit, change you, bring you into this different dimension where you can be spiritual and appraise all things. This wisdom of God, this peace of God, that I know what's going on in these days. I'm not upset by them. I'm not afraid of those things. I'm not angry of those things, because I know God is in control. And I know His Spirit is going to use these things for good. So that's just the message I want to highlight like today again. And again, it's not words. It's not mental understanding. It's going to be much more here in the heart. The kind of some of the songs we sing, I just stand in God's presence. And I can't do anything. I don't have to beg you for anything, God. I don't have to make promises to you. I just need to stand in your presence and say, you're God. And you can do whatever you want. And I want to follow you. I need you to change my heart. Because my heart is distracted. My heart is wicked. My heart goes back to what's easiest all the time. I need you to put that fire in me, that hot or cold water, whichever it is, Lord, that's going to make a difference. Only He can do that. I can't make it happen. But the Holy Spirit can, and I believe the Holy Spirit is here today, and He wants to work in our hearts and lives. He wants to work in this church. Again, exciting thing. Boy, I'd like to share the answers to prayer we're seeing. The neat things that God is doing, things that I couldn't believe. I scoff and say, oh, that'll never happen. That's impossible in this little church. And God says, oh, well, show me. I'll show you. Just, I believe, at the beginning of that. And neat things, this Monday meal, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to these revival services. I'm looking forward to just building the relationships with each and every one of you, and us coming together more and more as a body, more and more recognizing the Spirit among all of us and what He wants to do, to give Him first place, to give Him power, to give Him the right of way, and just to surrender before Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and this service and the good words that we have heard, which Stacy has shared. And there are just a lot of things she shared, Lord, that just touched my heart and challenged me, Lord God. And then how that just all fits into where my heart has been and where it fits in with me as well, and what the Lord was speaking to me, Lord God. You are in control, Holy Spirit. We need You. We're not going to do anything without You. So, Lord God, we open our hearts, we open our lives to You. Have Your way. Be glorified in our lives. Show us, Lord. Awaken us. Not bargaining. We're not doing anything, but, Lord God, just desperate for You. Desperate for Your presence. Desperate for Your words. Your moving among us to see Your power, where it's not just my words, Lord God, but it's Your words that we're hearing. Your presence, Lord, and it brings the fullness of joy. So, Lord God, we commit ourselves to You. Help us to walk just in ways worthy of You this day. Help us to walk just in surrender to You, open to what You have, not putting You in a box, not trying to control You these days, not to heaven thinking we've got everything figured out. But You show us, You teach us, You tell us, Lord, what You have for us. And Lord, You'll be glorified, Your kingdom advance, and then it doesn't really matter too much what happens to us. Lord, You just let us come along for the ride for as long as You want to. So we praise You for all of these things. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and that He would be glorified. Amen. Amen.